in our space, and some of them we have linked them up to other big companies in our database. Secondly, we realize that only not professional services is a problem. We also have a problem with actually the construction work itself. So what did we do? We went out on tender. The tender just closed. We are currently busy evaluating tenders to put on the panel where we will have all the grade 4s, 5, 6, and grade 7, CIB, civil engineering, who are going to be merged with level 8 and level 9. In our department, the bigger jobs that we do doesn't require level 4s and level 5s, level 6. Our jobs, actually, whether it's in our department, whether it's in the public entities that we have, they require level 9 CE. And we are aware that level 9 CE, we don't have blacks there. Even if we have blacks, they might be only, in some cases, only owning part of the equity, but not necessarily the management and the other things that we spoke about in terms of our key elements of empowerment. Now, we are currently, we got a response of almost 3,500 companies who have actually had that across the country, who now we're going to have them in our database so that we can allocate jobs to them and so that we can develop them in line with our other empowerment pillar, which talks about enterprise development. So what I'm saying is that, Chair, we will be happy that going forward, we will be forcing joint ventures in some way, and not in a bad way, but in a good way, where we can have transfer of skills from the bigger guys to the smaller guys. Just as you were saying, you were talking about the construction of stadiums. You know, you see that in the construction of stadiums, there were not so many black companies that actually benefited in that process. And now we are saying, in this process that we are doing, we'll ensure that we address that particular issue. Now, we can go to the next slide. Just to share, because we were not clear much of the mandate, we could have given more information, but I think for today, we can simply say, as at December this year, we have allocated about 75 million. It still seems to be low, but at least it's work in progress, and we believe that we can do more as our strategy unfolds. If you go to the next slide, there have been some slight improvements. If you look at comparing the 2 years, 2013 and 2014, you see that we spent about 33 million on the quotation below 30,000 to previous disadvantage. And in the year that we are in, we spent about 34, which was a 1.4% increase. But for the year 2018 on the above, it's actually about 10%. It's gradually that because there is a concerted effort within the department to actually make sure that we achieve the goals that government has set for all of us. All these things are not easy to achieve because there are challenges. And what are challenges? If you go to the next slide, you see that we have summarized the challenges. There are many of them, but we've just summarized the challenges. Firstly, in the past, we've been looking at the BEE certificate as the thing that will assist us. But I must say, Mr. Chair, that the BEE certificate alone does not necessarily assist us to address the issues, because people have asked us how to get level 1 of the BEE certificate. So it's no more an issue that you will find. Sorry that it says BEE, actually triple BEE certificate. I'm saying, Chair, most of people have mastered this, because there are certain companies who normally issue out this certificate. They know how to do it. And you'll think that you're actually allocating business to BE, but you're not actually allocating to BE. What have we done to address that challenge? Was make sure that now in our procurement, we specify targets and we specify exactly what we want to see, not only the certificate itself, but actually the work, how the women have been allocated. Because every time when Parliament asks us, how many women have you given jobs, how many youth have you given jobs, it's difficult to easily, with the press of a button, to get that information that is available. Now we've since now made sure that our terms of reference will have to cover those particular issues, including the people with disabilities. We have always got problems that some of the companies, they do not necessarily know how to bill, to do a quantity of bills, how to develop a bill of quantities. Some of them, they don't have funding. We have realized that most of the guys that can complete their job do not know how they actually structure their bill of quantities. Now we have gone as far as saying we are on a campaign where we train the SMEs in terms of that in that space, and we also try to say advise them in terms of how they need to structure, because most of it is about structuring. I'll give an example, Chair. If you are in the construction industry, it's what you call P's and G's, which they call is preliminary and P's and G's. Preliminary and generous, where you can actually upfront load what, before you take site, how much do you require for you to establish a site. Now, for you to establish a site, extra that money is meant to be able to manage your cash flow of your contract going forward. And some people shoot themselves down when it comes to that allocation in their field of quality. They are not clear where to put certain things in place. So we are working on that particular issue, but it's still a challenge, and that's why we end up finding most of our black companies saying they cannot complete their job. It's not because they cannot have the capacity, it is how they actually don't have the cash flow to manage the project. And many elements can find it difficult to comply with administrative compliance. And I think you find it easy to say somebody might have written the terms of reference to be able to read the terms of reference and to know what is it that has been asked, and to provide that a minimum. If you say next current, you say CIGB, attach this document. Some of them, they fail to comply or to give us certified documents that we require. And we say we will endeavor to ensure that they get schooled. Now, I'm going to give some few examples of real cases that are already existing where we're trying to implement this policy. Can we look at the next slide? We've got socio-economic development around the corner here in Western Cape. We have one of the biggest projects that we are doing, the raising of Glen Miller Dams. It's just here in Western Cape. And we're saying in that project, we have looked at the total project. It's currently almost estimated to be about $2 billion to implement that project. But out of it, we have actually said $671 million will go to the small media enterprises. And we said 50% of the workforce to do this job should be coming from the West Coast district in the Western Cape, so that people can see the impact of this and they actually become part of that particular job. We're targeting that category 1 and category 2 of our code. They actually should be able to get the jobs. We're also targeting in the same project that the joint venture partnership of about 5% targeting on their own and managed enterprises. We're saying the procurement system developed social plan by specifying functional evaluation. We clearly say we want to know who are the people from local, who are the women that are going to be in the project, who are the youth that are going to be in the project, who are the local builders that are going to be bought just in the Western Cape. The formation of cooperatives, etc. So that is what we are saying. This is an example of a project that is there, and I think at some stage you might want to go and see what we're doing in that space. Skills development, long-term development, viability of engineering, construction skills. There we take the professional guidance I was talking about, those engineering big companies, the Oricons of this world, the BHSs of this world, working with our smaller companies to be able to provide engineering services, whether in project management, whether in design, whether in supervision. So basically that's one typical example of a project that we have. We have also looked at, in the same space, can we go to the next slide? We also looked at and categorized which of these services are we getting. We have said this project will be done, the rate of 10 million, will require, let me convey, will require sand, will require cement, will require electricity, will require all those products that are there are the products that are going to be procured during the construction of this particular dam. And we're saying this is where we want to see our SMEs being involved and getting themselves in terms of delivering in terms of those projects. Another project that you might be aware that we're going to be implementing in KZN. The next slide. The KZN This is the raising of heaven there again. The same approach we are following. So basically, what we are saying here is this. We are trying to make our policy that we are presenting to you. I didn't give you the whole document, and we can make the policy to yourself. It's about 44 pages. We can make it available to yourself so that you can see that policy is actually now in the real world being implemented through the two projects. And I don't want to repeat because it's similar in terms of how they are approaching. And these are real life cases that we have in terms of our partners. And for the same one, if you look at Hazelmere, what are the different products that we're going to buy? The next slide. We talk about formwork, that is the steel work that you use to climb, the guys who are within construction, the reinforcing items, the concrete items, and the rock anchor. So we have analyzed each and every commodity that is required for that project and said these commodities are supposed to be able to be sourced from our community. The other two projects that are coming, which they are going to be also be implemented in the same way. Next slide. You might have heard, we've always been talking about Umzimbubu, which is in Eastern Cape. The project almost about 12 billion that we're dealing with. That is it. We said in that project as well, there has to be this particular SMEs that get. The Greater Letaba project is also one of those projects that we think we'll be able to deliver in there. The next one, last one, is the one that's supposed to supply water to Limpopo from the work end that we have, and now it's the BDS. We call it the BDS. The next slide. The BDS is the one that we say we also want to make sure that as we roll out the BDS, we all know that there's a dam now, but the dam alone has got some other pipes that we have to take to various areas to actually unlock the shortage of water in the space of Limpopo as a whole, Polokwane and all those other areas. So, Chair, I want to stop there, but as I said earlier on, we tried to respond to what you were requesting, and we said maybe it would be nice to also give you a little bit of taste of what we are currently doing. With regards to the pipes, that's why I'm saying I'm in the captain myself, I'm sharing the captain between economic development as well as CTI and Trigari in the issue of trying to create companies in South Africa to manufacture pipes in South Africa. And we can actually implement our policy, our BEE, economic empowerment policy. It's something that our minister later on should be able to talk to ourselves at the right time after the whole work is completed. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much for the input. Tremuruti, I'm noting you. So you're done in terms of input? The team is done. Okay. The same issue, I'm noting you. What else is to be noted?
Jeff, it's not much to interrogate the presentation. It's not about that. But can we go back to that last slide, please? There's something that looks like an acronym. I want to know what it is and how do you pronounce it.
Okay. The last slide? Is that the one?
The last one, point three. The last slide. That point three, what's that? What is
Coming from Olifant. When you are in Middleburg down, that qualifying fever, as it goes into steel port. When it arrives at steel port, that's the whole system from steel port. Then you have to go to Mokopane, go to Shenfes, you go to Mokopane, you go to Polokwane. Now, that whole thing, we call it BDS, is the bulk distribution system. That's one thing, that one I have to give it to you.
Share through you, just to, is the Olifant River Water Resources Development Project bulk distribution system. The Olifant River Water Resources Development Project bulk distribution system. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. What we will do, we will take the next presentation, because it's possible that some of the areas of engagement could be similar. So we will take all the presentations, and then from there we engage. So it will help if members can note, I hope they have noted the questions and the contributions they want to make. The next one that we'll take is communications. Department of
Good morning, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. My name is Mamezen Pashere. I am the Acting Deputy Director General at the Department of Telecommunications and Postal Services, and I'm responsible for the portfolio of information society development and research. I have with me my two colleagues from the department, Dr. Mashile Boloka. He is the director in the state-owned companies oversight branch, and as well as Ms. Angie Mahabuli. She is a director responsible for ICT capacity building programs in the branch of the ICET research branch. They will be putting actually the presentation this morning from our department. Just suffice to say that the work that we're going to be presenting this morning is informed by the National Development Plan, the Vision 2030, that says we need to be building an inclusive information society and knowledge-based economy by the year 2020, whereby citizens, ordinary South Africans, are able to use ICTs to engage with each other, to talk to each other, to also participate meaningfully in the economy. And it's also the work that we're going to be presenting, also informed by the South Africa Connect, which is a broadband policy for South Africa. And all of these overarching policies and frameworks in the Vision 2030 will inform the ICT SME strategy that we're going to be developing in the next financial year. But I will leave it now to Dr. Luka to actually get us through the presentation as well as Mayor Mahabudi. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair, Honorable Members, colleagues, ladies and gentlemen. The Department of Telecommunication Quota is actually responsible for the two major areas of our development in the country, that is telecommunications, including IT, as well as postal services. So the work that we're presenting to today is in relation to that. And just to say that this work actually has started even before the separation or the detachment of the a communication which included broadcasting from the department. So that's the work that we started last year. But just to say that from our own perspective, our push to FM development is in two ways. The first one is when any SMEs are using ICTs to do their own business. We normally refer to it as ICT adoption. Then the other area is when you've got businesses that are actually in the area of ICT.
There is a suggestion that AMA presenters at the public, because AMA committee are born, especially in Mosawa.
As I was saying, from my own perspective, Adam is from an ICT area, covers two dimensions. The first one is what you normally refer to as ICT adoption. That is when any business or SME business is using ICTs to do their own business on a day-to-day basis, whether it's computers, whether it's website and internet and so forth. Then the other one is about the companies, small enterprises that are actually in the business of developing ICT gadgets, goods, and so forth. This is being those that manufacture your cell phones, those that repair computers, and so forth. So over the years, the department, our focus has been on the first dimension, with how do we help small enterprises to connect or to adopt ICTs so as to bring efficiency in their businesses. And that's what we have been doing. In that respect, we have been helping even also traditionally to connect to the websites and so on. So there's a lot of information as to who do we help in regard to that. But we have not, then we had a chief director that was responsible for that, driving the work from side of the department. But we have realized that we didn't have the actually adequate information or data as to, even when you talk about the number of ICT SMEs in South Africa, we're very general in our approach. That's why, and something that we picked up last year or in the last 2 years when we were busy with the ICT policy review, there was a chapter that we're writing on how can we improve on ICTs SMEs in the country specifically. Then we realized that most of the time, even when we're speaking with that general, we start saying how many were there, what do they do, what is the size of those activities, what are the peculiar challenges that are facing in contrast to other challenges, other areas of SMEs have been doing. So for that purpose, what we did as a department from last year is that we included in our strategic plan a commitment to compile data on or a baseline report on this ICT SMEs in South Africa, so that we know where they are, what do they do, to what scale, and how, what are the kind of challenges they face. This is simply because we understand quite well, as we have said in your introduction, Madam Chair, that we need, SMEs are the real levers of creating jobs, they grow the economy, as well as to transform the industry. So we thought about this and realized this is the emphasis in the department, not necessarily that we need the area that we've been focusing on ICT adoption, because it's still a very critical area. And then for that purpose, what we did last year is that we published a gazette, what we normally call a scoping gazette, in August, so receiving input from the sector related to the size of the business, who they are, and so forth. And we had a good response to that, in the sense that by the close of submission, the 29th, we received over 100% submissions from various small enterprises that are in the business of ICTs, not necessarily those that do ICT adoption, telling us where they are, how many people they are employing, what are the challenges that are facing in their turnovers, as well as there are some of their clientele bases. So there's a lot of information that they provided to us, which is very, very valuable and will help us in understanding that. And we are currently analyzing that. So we even said, okay, given that probably the others that might not have seen the gazette, how about having a conversation with this sector? For that purpose, we had a workshop that was done for the 24th 8 to 9 of October 2014, and unfortunately we had to postpone it due to matters beyond our own control. But we want to say that actually it's confirmed for the 23rd and 24th of this month in about 2 weeks. So all the entities that were invited, all this, the companies that have invited from the sector, and have been, we are working quite closely with the Department of Small Business Development. And we are doing international benchmarking with comparative countries where ICT SMEs have really thrived. Your China of this world, your Japan, your Korea, Brazil, Malaysia. If you've noted throughout the world, I think 75% of the ICT goods and services that we consume in the whole world come from five countries. Is the US and Asian bloc. That includes your China, your Malaysia, your Singapore, as well as Japan. And I think they have created jobs. The reason why this is important is because if you look at even Korea, Korea was more in the 70s, but where are they now? All the ICT goods that we consume come from Korea, Samsung of this world. That's where they come from. Your highway of this world. Yeah, that's where they come from, China. So I think they've got the power to change the economies and transform the industry in terms of job creation. So for us, that's very, very important. And we have started doing a lot of work on that. Even at the workshop, I think these are some of the lessons that you're going to share as to how have these countries done better on that. And then we had a meeting with the Department of Small Business Development in September last year. This is so that we don't duplicate things or have the thing that what we normally call as mandate creep. We wanted for them to understand that whatever that we do is driven or is taking cue from the policy that they develop, because the understanding is that they are responsible for the overarching policy around and their custodian of the policy around SMEs development. But in relation to particular sectors, maybe as a department we can develop programs that are targeted towards a specific sector because of that's what the knowledge is. That's why I think for us that meeting is very important. So the workshop that I just confirmed for the 23rd, I think for us it provides opportunity for further inputs from the sector and then also to use this, because most of our entities will be there. We sincerely hope that will be an opportunity for the small enterprise to see what are the opportunities that are prevalent within our own entities, because most of them will be there as well. And then, again, to capacitate them through the presentation by, I think these are some of the issues that the chair raised them around, or compliance with SARS issues, and I think my colleague from the Department of Water Affairs, I think, referred to us to that. SARS issues there as well.
Excuse me, Chair. I wonder if the presenter could just move the slides on, please. I think he's getting ahead of himself here. On the screen. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. All right. That's where I am, Chair. Thank you very much, sir. So for us, we have invited all those departments that are listed there with the hope that they will be able to provide some sort of assistance for compliance, because it doesn't help to support the MSC without them having to comply. So all those departments that you've visited there have been invited to be part of the workshop. For us, this workshop is critical because we'll be able to see how together with the sector we can really unlock the potential of SMEs as the economic driver for job creation. And from our own side, as a department, it will also help us in creating a database, because at the moment we don't have a database of who is there, what they do to what scale. I think it will help us with that database to monitor them and see what is that they're doing. How can we continue to help them when they need that kind of assistance? So that's where, insofar as the enterprise unit is concerned on the process relating to the development of SMEs, I'll give an opportunity to my colleague to present the remaining slides. Thank you, Chair.
Good morning, and thank you, Chair, for the opportunity. Mine is just to deal with the second the following slides. I think we know that the Parliament has approved the broadband policy called SA Connect, and one of the strategies of SA Connect is digital opportunities. And these 10 opportunities have got several things, and one of the things that we're focusing on specifically is the development of entrepreneurship. Others include capacity development, e-government, and so on. So the purpose of this meeting is focusing on this particular one on entrepreneurship development. And coupled to the broadband policy, the ministry is also guided by the Electronic Communications Act of 2005 that mandates us to develop and promote SMEs and cooperatives. And secondly, the Electronic Communications and Transactions Act that requires that we promote SMEs within the electronic transactions environment. So therefore, our focus in developing this program is to really look at two approaches where we encourage SMEs to take advantage of ICTs in how to run their businesses so that they are efficient and effective in running their businesses. As my colleague has said that, we used to have these initiatives previously where you find that SMEs are not doing well because they don't even understand the basics of, you know, doing stock control, using basics of Excel on how to, you know, market themselves, or even do their basic administrations. So we think that we need to capacitate our SMEs so that they can use these ICT tools to make their businesses efficient. And secondly, our approach is also to grow the ICT sector by making sure that we create or support the creation of dynamic ICTs so that they can innovate and produce new products and services, more especially looking at the opportunities that broadband infrastructure will be providing. Because like I said, it has been recently approved, the broadband policy, and the broadband policy is going to be implemented in phases. So what we are saying is that we are going to align our intervention in line with the phase one of broadband implementation. And maybe to remind colleagues that, you know, the focus of phase one of broadband implementation is targeted at national health insurance sites. And our approach is that we're going to focus on 7 provinces in exclusion of Gauteng and Western Cape because they're already moving ahead on issues of rolling out broadband. So we are going to focus on the 7 provinces. And our intention is to create demand because we are saying, while the infrastructure is there, how is it going to be used to the maximum? And we are saying now, we see us supporting the development of ICT SMEs, leveraging on this broadband, so that they can be part of the service providers, like for example, internet service providers, or they can even develop ICT applications that can be used maybe for e-government or for health or in the schools. So the first project that we want to focus on is for ICT capacity building. And we know that we cannot work alone as a department because we are not responsible for other services that are required. Like, for example, our colleagues who previously presented on water and sanitation. Obviously, we would like to work with those small businesses, introduce ICTs into them so that they can make their businesses more effective. So our program is ready to capacitate and support ICT SMEs so that they can be profitable, as well as also make sure that they gain access to new markets, or maybe even locally and internationally, depending on our multilateral arrangements with these other countries. And we are also proposing the establishment of incubator hubs. And for sure, if you can look at the priorities, the HR sites, most of them are in disadvantaged areas. And when you look at incubation, most of the incubations are happening in Western Cape and Gauteng. So what we want to do as a department is to move this incubation up into those areas because we know that there are young people out there who are very creative and they don't have a platform where we can test their creativity and at the end we just lose them in the system. So we want to have this incubation up that they can really assist, you know, these young people who are
adapt, because as you know, most of the challenges that we have in this country is also is the issue of skills. You find that they have this idea, but they don't have the skills on how to develop whatever innovation they have. So we have to make sure that we develop their skills. And not forgetting of important as well is that we need to work especially with the Department of Small Business and Development, DCI as well, and see that, because we have also realized that see the role it's providing support to small businesses. It does not have specific support for ICT, SME development. So I think I will end here. This is our plan moving forward and our focus on the National Insurance Broadband implementation phase. There's the next slide. I think my colleague talked about this one, about hosting the workshop this time, so that you can get the baseline report and understand the status of ICT SMEs. Because if you ask me now and say, how many ICT SMEs are there who are active, I won't be in a position to tell you, more especially that you know, ICT is cut across, and the value chain in the development of ICT is also varies. So it's maybe hopefully with this workshop and the research that we conducted, we'll be in a position to tell you how much SMEs are there, their contribution to grow the economy. Thank you.
Chairperson, thank you. I'm Mbuyo Lingamu from the Department of Transport. I'd like to offer apologies for my Deputy Director General, Maui Tulilana. It's fine. I'm just doing the introduction. Yes, thank you. Chair, thanks for inviting us our presenter will be Ms. Democracy Scudo, is a project manager for BEE. I'm sure the chair is well acquainted with him because he has been presenting on empowerment from the portfolio committee of transport. And unfortunately, Chair, there's nothing will hide from you because you've been our chair for the past year. So whatever we're going to present is what we are well versed of. And we've got Sirol Dibakwane, the director in the office of the director general. Towards the end of the presentation, he will also give an update on Shofar Alula, as you've alluded to. Just to speak up front that we have not yet have an engagement with the Department of Small Business Development, but our presentation will cover the progress we have made on empowerment issues on SMEs and cooperatives, the challenges we have had. We'll also highlight the results of the last service. Survey we did in government as well as the industry on employment issues. We'll also highlight progress made towards employment, especially with regard to PRASA on this big procurement program they have, as well as on the summit. I can see the president is looking at me saying I'm finishing his presentation. So, thank you, Chair and honorable members. Okay.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning to you and honorable members of the committee. As it has been indicated, my name is Samuel Hisisiku, Project Manager on Black Economic Empowerment. It is indeed a privilege for me to sit here in front of you and make a presentation based on the brief that was given to the Department of Transport. My presentation will cover those six areas. Suffice to say that as much as we need to create an enabling environment for SMEs as well as cooperatives, the department as well, needed to understand its space and make sure that it has an enabling environment which is guided by the policy legislative framework that I will touch on in brief for your information. I will then look at the problem statement, which basically was a receipt of the interventions that the department had to put in place. Some of these challenges that I will be talking about will be engraving the challenges that the chairperson has mentioned in her opening remarks. But I will then locate these challenges within the transport sector. Then I will then give you a snapshot of the preliminary results with regard to the current status of BEE in the transport sector, because we've been always challenged about the fact that we don't know the baseline, or we don't know the status of BEE, wherein we can then use it to move forward, you know. So luckily the department is at the time which can present some information with regard to that, you know, and in support of what DTI has already done. And we will then look at the key programs or interventions that the department is undertaking in the space of BEE, in the space of SME, as well as in the space of cooperatives, and propose some areas of engagement or relationship that would have to undertake with the Department of Small Business going forward. But obviously, we have understood the scope of the work that needed to be done going forward based on the opening remarks of the chairperson, which in the main is about issues of having a transversal agreement, which is based on the understanding of the size of the head that we're talking about, specifically for SMEs and cooperatives, issues of access to market, opportunities with regard to markets as well as support structure. So from where I see that, those are the critical pillars that we need to probably do some work going forward to address them, you know. Looking at the mandate at which we derive the department's contribution towards SMEs, as well as cooperative development and sustainability, we derive them in the main from the resolution of the 53rd National Conference on Development of SMEs and Cooperatives. As Chair has stated, that it has been mandated to us that we need to make sure that we develop SMEs and cooperatives through public spending as well as infrastructure investment. So we derive the mandate, the Department of Transport in the main, from the resolutions that were taken then. And the National Development Plan also does give us guidance in terms of what areas of challenges that we need to focus on, which you know very best, which relates to the triple challenges of poverty eradication, job creation, as well as addressing issues of inequalities, with the aim of promoting or ensuring that radical economic transformation happens. We are also guided by the Act that deals with issues of broad-based economic empowerment, which, as has been stated earlier by the first presentation, that talks to seven elements of the scorecard, but which has now been streamlined to five elements of the scorecard. We are also guided by the Cooperative Act as to how to establish cooperatives as well as how to make them sustainable going forward. In the main, Chair and Honourable Members, we are also being guided by the BBBFA, which is the Preferential Procurement Policy Framework, which ensures and requires that procurement of government is done in a fair, transparent, cost-effective way. And we also have the Women's Charter for Effective Equality of 1994, which outlines eight aims of gender equality. We are also guided by the WEG, which is called Women Empowerment and Gender Equality, which promotes women empowerment and gender mainstreaming in social, political, and economic structures of society. We are also guided by, in the main, the local content framework, wherein the chairperson earlier on mentioned that the policy of government is to ensure that 70% of government's procurement is done locally. So we are basically guided by these key policies and legislative framework. As much as the environment has been created to be conducive for the department,
some of these challenges have their, some of these policies and legislations have their challenges. I would make a reference with regard to presidential policy framework later on around the issue of 80-20-10 principle as to what is the challenge there and what sort of intervention that has to be put in place to unlock that challenge. The next slide basically talks to some of the challenges that are encountered within the transport sector from a general perspective. In the main, based on the BE audit now, confidently we can say so, there's lack of transformation across the transport sector, particularly within the aviation, maritime, as well as road freight. The last edition should be road freight, apologies about that. So it's basically three main sub-sectors within transport, it's aviation, maritime, as well as road freight. We encountering serious challenges, and some of the challenges that I'll be talking about will be pledged for respective sub-sectors so that you understand exactly what sort of challenges that we have, you know. But also the few slides that we'll talk about the BE audit will give a sense as to what sort of animal you're talking about when you talk about lack of transformations. The second bullet point talks to the fact that yes, we may have certain elements of the scorecard that we're talking about with regards to broad-based black economic empowerment. However, as it has been stated earlier, well, the framework does create a situation where companies could be called black companies without having to do anything on ownership, which therefore means you could achieve your blackness of the company by only doing skills development, management, employment equity, and possibly either enterprise development or potential procurement, and do nothing on ownership. It is indeed a concern from our side, even though the five elements that are embedded in the new course of good practice aims to do that, to resolve that problem by one, indicating priority elements to be achieved by companies for them to be at a good state, a B status. For example, you find that big companies would have to make sure minimum 40% of each element, which is ownership, enterprise development, as well as business development, would have to be achieved for them to get a good status of EE. But our analysis, when you analyze it quite well, that even doesn't help, because you could have a situation where you achieve four elements at a large company without doing anything on ownership and have a good basis of contribution level. So it's a concern as well, as much as we try to broaden the BEE. With regards to BFA, the 90-10 framework as well as the 80-20 framework, wherein 10 and 20 respectively is allocated for BEE in broad terms. It does not influence or it does not allocate any specific point within that 10 or 20 points specifically to SME or when owned companies. It does not at all. And that on its own, it is a challenge because you could have a company that has a good BEE status without having to do anything to contribute towards SMEs as well as women-owned companies. And again, the argument is the fact that the 20% or 10% allocated there is quite a small amount of points which emphasizes the need for us to transform different areas of the sector using government standards and so forth. Fourthly, the fourth bullet point talks to the fact that there's lack of long-term contracts, particularly in the bus as well as the road freight sector, wherein you find that there are brokers who walk around with briefcases, who sell contracts to potential entrepreneurs within those specific two industries, and you can only access funding or access business opportunities through having long-term contracts. And if you have a long-term contract, you can be able to buy trucks or be able to buy buses. But if you don't have, you can't be able to do that. What normally happens at the business case situation, you find that a person goes and gets a contract from one of the brokers that go around with briefcases.
normally he becomes maybe a year or 2 year contract with a promise that they will be given a long-term contract. That person either then go to the bank and acquire finances and either buy the truck or buy the bus. With this hope that they will be given an extension of a long-term contract. And after a year's expirement of the contract, that person has not been given given a renewed contract, and that person has responsibilities to pay back the banking institution if you have financed your assets through the banking institutions. And that responsibility also, you find that it comes from the fact that the person has either used his or her pension as surety, his or her personal assets such as your cars, such as your houses as surety for having to make sure that you would pay back the money. And if you can't therefore pay back the money, the banks come back and say, give us your car, give us your house. They end up, the person end up not being houseless or homeless, which is a serious concern. And where the broker? Nowhere to be found. And it's an area that needs some serious interrogation, serious attention. We know about the fact that barriers to access markets, all the sectors in the economy have a challenge around funding, specifically for SMEs, cooperatives, as well as women-owned companies. There are serious funding challenges. I think it's an area that is well written, that a good body of knowledge around this area. Maybe I don't have to spend much money on it. One area that probably has been talked about a lot is about sacrifice. You know, you find that entities, Department of Transport and provinces, the current legislation or the enabling environment I'm talking about does not create a situation where you satirize certain businesses or certain commodities or certain percentages for SMEs or cooperatives or even BE. Because if you begin to do that, it then becomes illegal for those who are not pro to BE or pro to SMEs development or cooperatives. They end up challenging respective institutions from government that has aimed to basically pursue issues of SME development and cooperative development, you know. There may be these development finance institutions that we have, however, most of which don't have a transport enterprise development fund that focuses on projects specifically that are transport related. I'll be selfish, you know, come from the Department of Transport. Therefore, my advocacy will be around making sure that in whatever port that we have, whether it's through GSA, IDC, NEF, there should be some pocket of window that has to do with funding for transport-related projects. Given the fact that government, in the main also, does put a lot of infrastructure investment in transport, it will therefore be an opportune time to make sure that there will be such an instrument that will be put in place to make sure that those infrastructure projects does make sure that there's a creation of SME as well as corporate development. The last bullet point talk about unfair BE practices in the main, the road freight sector. I've given some example around the brokers and all that stuff. The other unfair BE practices around issues of fronting, which I think you know best as to what sort of issues are there. Luckily, the Department of DTI is putting in place a commission that will then implement the act that has to do with contravention of BE by either misrepresentation or through fronting. And the act itself requires that if you conduct such acts, you will either be fined or be imprisoned. But the work that has to be done around investigation, around making sure that those people are put where they're supposed to be put, will be done by the BE Commission. Of your interest, ma'am, is the next slide that touches in brief as to what sort of challenges are faced by women, particularly in the transport sector, one of which is the issue around victimization and discrimination of women. mostly in the transport sector, you find a situation where people not pro with BEs and they are required to either develop or create sustainable women-owned businesses. They would indicate or employ women in specific areas of work. They would indicate that the nature of the operation is against women. Particularly, let's make an example with the trucking industry. They would say women can't be driving trucks because shifts are different, are not suitable to the women, and they would be susceptible to crime that is out there. And also, we can't find women truck drivers or women bus drivers. You know, those are some of the examples which are cited to be, in actual fact, victimizing or discriminating women. The question is, if you have those kinds of challenges emanating in the specific industries, why don't we create an environment where women can operate in those specific environment? Another example is around train drivers, where it is indicated that a woman could be isolated driving a train alone, and you have passengers who may be criminals, who may basically create a risk for a woman to drive a train, or women are not well conditioned to drive trains and all that stuff. So those are the kind of examples that we normally experience within the transport sector. You know, there's low rate of literacy levels at schools as well, due to the lack of gender institutional support, which the department somehow has created a town standard to be able to deal with that challenge. The lack of external resources to allow women to start businesses, mentioned the issue of funding, which affects them as well, access to sector-related information, issues around how to develop a business plan, the knowledge of the places in which they are operating, as well as the offering assistance around it. And there's a lack of skills and capability to effectively run transport businesses. And there is a lack of a one integrated overarching advocacy platforms for women. So those are the challenges that I thought I should share with yourself to bring home as to what sort of challenges that we are encountering. Obviously, this is not accepted, but also these challenges are flagging the fact that we are mindful of the space that we're operating and what sort of challenges we have, and therefore what kind of strategies that we need to put in place to resolve those challenges. The next few slides basically gives you a sense of the BE audit that we have since did as the Department of Transport, based on the information that we have at hand. The coverage provincially in the main was that Gauteng has been the most province that responded to the survey, because what has happened basically is that we created a questionnaire. We then send those questionnaires to direct. We've developed questionnaires, and we then send these questionnaires to different companies for them to respond. An interesting story is that some of these companies would agree to a meeting, because we would then have to interview those companies and so forth. Then at the time at which we then have to meet them, we either being chased away because we find that probably they want to hide information, that there is probably lack of information in their respective companies. They probably would think that we wouldn't make a follow-up on our questionnaires and all that stuff, you know. But with regard to the slide, Gauteng contributed in terms of the response that they received, followed by Western Cape, and then followed by Eastern Cape, and KZN as well. In fact, followed by KZN, then Western Cape, then Eastern Cape, you know. And a significant number of respondents operating in all provinces. This survey basically looked at sampling different companies in different sectors of transport. It was not a high-level survey. You know, we had to zoom into different subsectors of transport. As you see the slides following, will give you a picture of what is happening in different subsectors. You know, that's what it happens. Honourable Chairperson, we had a challenge with regard to the taxi industry. I think the issue of information availability, issue of respective institutions they were not available to give us information. We then resolved that we will basically do a data analysis based on the information that they will be giving us, which is not forthcoming. For hence, you would see in the study, tech industry has not been touched. But we're engaging the respective institution to deal with this matter going forward. The next slide basically indicates a very critical challenge for your noting. There's a generic scorecard that is guided by the BF as well as the DGI Code of Good Practice that is in place. But also you may know that all related key sectors are required to develop sector charters, of which transport is one of those. And out of those charters and the frameworks, you then have to get rated your sector-related scorecard. But what we found with the survey, is that most companies basically decided to be rated on the generic scorecard vis-à-vis the transport sector scorecard, which is a concern to us, because if you have a sector code, then expect companies to be rated and verified using the sector scorecard. And that basically tells us that companies think that the generic scorecard is much more lenient vis-à-vis the transport sector scorecard. So that's a challenge that we need to deal with. And with regard to E-level, the audit confirms the transport sector data that was declared by DGI, that transport is sitting at level 3, which is not a good status. Level 6, which is not a good status per se. However, our analysis says that most of the companies are sitting between level 3 and level 4. And like I said earlier on, you can achieve these levels without doing anything on ownership and possibly enterprise development. 7 elements, we've spoken earlier about those, but the key area of focus with regard to 7 elements, which confirms what I said earlier on, most companies are going for skills development, employment equity, and preferential preference. Not so much on ownership, not so much on enterprise development. Lots of issues that is costly, time-consuming, all that stuff. Aviation, more companies are sitting at level 3 and 4. However, only 3% of responses are achieving level 1. So it tells you that a small pool basically does contribute towards the EE, but majority of those companies are just sitting in the middle. And then with regard to bus data, which is a good representation, is the fact that most members are sitting at level 3, but you know that the bus sector, most members are subsidized by government, so therefore they are dependent on government support for them to proceed. With regard to forwarding and sale, it's a good status. Most members are sitting at level 2. They had a good representation around level 1, which is a good thing to see there. Then maritime, not so good in the sense that most members are sitting at level 4. It's because of the National Ports Act, which requires that for them to get licenses or be certified to operating in specific terminals, they have to be at level 4. And therefore, their approach is minimalist and not so much about going beyond level 4. You know, that's the situation around maritime. Then the rail, level 3 again. So in the main, Chairperson and honorable members will see that most members are sitting at level 3 and 4. So there isn't much improvement with the preliminary results that we have received. So some of the key programs that the department have put in place to deal with the challenges that we have starts basically from the fact that we needed to put in place some institutional mechanisms for us to deal with those. One, it has to do with the fact that the department has established a data council that was announced the cabinet late last year and launched by the minister in December 2014. This data council aims to drive implementation of empowerment based on what I have said yet in terms of challenges that we have. We are currently having an institution that creates an advocacy platform and that creates a situation where DOT can facilitate business and economic opportunities for women, and that institution is called the South African Network for Women in Transport. We also have a forum that meets on a regular basis. The forum is the CEO forum, where the DG makes sure that all the entities within transport
Basically, we have a shareholder compact. One of the critical pillars for them to achieve is around SMEs, around corporate business, as well as the and the shareholder compacts are monitored on a quarterly basis going forward. Probably this is a disadvantage. The department has a big directorate. I've listened carefully that some of the departments, they are having a big directorate, but I would say that the level is not so important, but the aim of the BE directorate basically is to provide advice, provide information, facilitate BE where it's necessary, and provide secretarial services for related programs. We have a gender gap that deals with issues of gender in the transport sector, particularly around social issues, because the BE directorate deals with issues of economic in nature. And the department a year or so ago decided to help the small bus operators by developing a forum for them, which is called SANSBOC, which is the South African National Small Bus Operators. And this forum provides advocacy platform for small bus operators. It helps them to interact with each other as well as government and participate in related projects that emanate from IPTNs, which is the Integrated Public Transport Network. As well as make sure that there's good relationships between themselves and the taxis. Chicago and Zima Forum was created and launched by the Deputy Minister, which helps to deal with transformational issues within the aviation industry. Some of the key projects, one of which is around payment time, the department on a monthly basis does monitor the payment of companies, specifically SMEs and corporations within 30 days time. So it's a thing that has to be reported to National Treasury, and the CFO is basically monitoring this exercise. So I'm here to say that the department is doing well in this area. Then with regards to your creation of corporations and all the stuff, as Chair indicated, that the duty is not so much about creating those. Our duty is to make sure that we create an enabling environment, and therefore I will pass this slide. This is area that talks to taxi and bus operators. There's a project that is called Siamba Songe, which gives an opportunity for the department to make sure that there are business opportunities for SMEs in the area of constructing as well as maintaining our road infrastructure, which is in the main assisted by UNDRA. And I've spoken about issues of long-term contracts, which are needed, but within the space of the transport sector, we have a situation where Prasa, Transnet, Sandral has an opportunity to give opportunities for SMEs as well as cooperatives through the infrastructure program of government, as stated today. And therefore, it is critical that we clearly identify key performance indicators that would be monitored going forward to ensure that this happens going forward. Here I will touch on the issues around the owner driver scheme. In brief, companies are encouraged to pursue this program, and therefore the role of the department is to provide an oversight, because it's another program that is abused by different companies within the road-free space. The department and its entities, they contribute towards training and development with the help of TITA. And a specific allocation of points for those who does it. Then lastly on the slide, HNS, Women of Development Program, is a drive inwards towards making sure that there's skills development. And in March 2013, 13 HNS employees were conferred with the Management Development Program around aviation. Then CAA, which is the Civil Aviation Authority, in March 2013, conferred 10 degrees, which is an effort towards the skills development for its employees in the Navy. We all know about the operation participants within maritime space, and that program has provided the requirement where the department will train 10 youth as boat builders in inland, all in an effort of making sure that we also have a job creation, this one, and secondly, where these people will play a role in making sure that the share that has been increased
South Africa towards shipbuilding and repair, recovery and refurbishment of what building happen. So these people will help. So there won't be a situation where they would say their lack of transformation and so forth. The charter one, I won't touch it. I've spoken about that. We are guided by these other related government programs, grants, cooperatives, DFI. In terms of ranking, I spoke about commission and the issue of labor broking, and in terms of youth development, that's the issue that that Cedar Gaza pass with the chair. I think without you, yes, thank you so much for the opportunity.
Thank you very much.
So I think there's an addition to the presentation.
Thanks, Chairperson, and good morning to the honourable members. Mine is just to speak on two issues. One is the one on Shovakalula and also the one on school transport. Since there has been some bit of work that we have done over there, just maybe just to make a quick indication of what the intention of Shovakalula was. It's a project which we introduced as a pilot in 2002. With an intended purpose to address rural mobility challenges and to also address scholar transport challenges. So far, we've distributed around over 95,000 bicycles in the country. But what has happened is that we realized that because at the time the concept was along the pilot, so we moved the stage wherein we said let us then have a holistic program that not only look at distribution but look at the whole entire value chain, so that we begin to say in us taking this forward, how can we come with our own SMMEs and also our own cooperatives to begin to play a role into the space. So what has happened is that as the chairperson alluded earlier on about the recommendation of the then development on transport around the establishment of a bicycle manufacturing plant. In terms of that, where we are now is that we are at the stage wherein feasibility has been done, and we are in discussions with the National Treasury around registration of this project as a triple P. And as we are still in those discussions, and we hope that throughout the course of this, we should be able to conclude those discussions and move to implementation. In terms of the scholar transport, I should indicate, Chairperson, that and also that we're not even missing weight on this one, on scholar transport. This is a response, and also has been a response in us dealing with issues around poverty alleviation, around formalization of school transport industry, because from our point of view, and which is tied with what point 7 of the president is all about in his 9.10, which he presented to the nation during his declaration address, about unlocking the potential of SMMEs and cooperatives, because in our view, we do not think and believe that for us to have a road fixed environment, we also need to have operators that operate in a formalized and in a good business environment. So the solar transport policy in a way will begin to say, how then do we have an operator who has a business that is sustainable, a person who's able to comply to all the red tape, so to speak, that government wants. And where we are now, a chairperson should indicate that with money to resolve the concern that the portfolio committee has about us and Department of Education fighting who needs to take charge of the department of the function in terms of its location. We have moved to the stage now. We conducted the policy for public comments, and the policy, as we speak, is in its way back to Parliament and to Cabinet, so to speak. So for its final approval. But where we are now with the policy, it is at the stage wherein we can hopefully say it will be implemented after cabinet approval in the next coming 2 or 3 months. That is in a nutshell what I wanted to put on around the issues of Shovakalula and scholar transport, because in the main, it really relates to SMMEs and also cooperatives and our contribution to radical economic transformation, because we do not believe that people should continue to operate in the parts of their cars or in under trees. We need to have a situation there, and for us to have achieve a road safe environment, we need people to come and operate in a good business environment. So this is our contribution as a department. Thank you.
to the next resolution and try and move fast. The people can just take it and have the TYs ready.
Members of the House, and good afternoon to colleagues attending this sitting today. My name is Ntokozo Simphofu. I'm currently the acting Deputy Director General in Programs and Projects, mainly responsible for energy infrastructure. I would like first to apologize for arriving late. We basically were sitting at S35 where the initial invitation said that's where the meeting was going to take place, and then we only got notification after the meeting here was in was already proceeding, so our deepest apologies for that. And obviously, I would like to thank the chair for inviting us, as well as appreciate the comments that I got here while the chair was making regarding the role and responsibilities of small business development, as well as how basically we're supposed to function hand in glove with the sector department. I think it desperately needs us to make sure that we basically take forward the resolutions that have been taken, so that we basically begin to see fruits, you know, in the areas of small and medium enterprises as well as corporate cooperatives. The slides that basically I will be taking through are not very long. I will try and be brief because I understand that members are pressed for time. Okay. Basically, from the Energy Department, we are fully aware and support the imperatives of basically encouraging the SMMEs as well as co-ops. We are quite aware of the acute situation that our people face on the ground of poverty, inequality, lack of opportunities, lack of job opportunities, and obviously the general development in the youth space, as well as women, people with disabilities. We are taking those in our rights. Currently, we are busy developing policies that are going to talk to how we integrate our procurement programs to take into account youth, women, and people with disabilities. Basically, in the Department of Energy, we've got those main programs that are on this screen, which basically through our procurement program, we think we can be able to incorporate all the elements that we're trying to achieve here so that we begin to see the results. But obviously, we would appreciate a closer cooperation with the Department of Small Business Development, you know, so that we can be able to assist one another, because basically, as the Department of Energy, our specialty and focus is mainly on delivering energy services. So basically, we would appreciate if small developments can have a regular interaction with us, you know, so that basically we are able to tailor-make the programs to basically fit the mandates that they've been given, so that we can work hand-in-hand as a result achieve this. Basically, we've got the program of integrated energy centers, we've got the independent power producer program, we've got solar water heating, we've got solar home systems, we've got biofuels, and obviously the payments, I think, of SMMEs within 30 days, I think we are one of the departments that basically is leading in the score. We are doing quite well. With regards to the biofuels, I'm not going to dwell much on it because most of the process are still in the approval phase, so nothing concrete from the biofuels has been approved. But obviously, there is still an opportunity for small business development to interact with us, so that before the program goes into the market, probably they can then identify those areas where probably we will get more mileage if we incorporate small business development. Okay, in the independent power producer program, the program was launched in 2012. It has done significantly well in other areas, not so well in other areas. So basically, there are seven pillars which the procurement process tries to address in that program, mainly around the economic development. It addresses all those seven key pillars that are there, and obviously we basically monitor. As I said, the program was launched in 2012. Most of the projects that came out of Window 1, Window 2, they have gone past their procurement phase. Now basically they are in the implementation phase. What is critical in the implementation phase is that although all those elements we were measuring during the construction phase, where basically we check local content, we check ownership, which was part of the evaluation during the tender and procurement stage, we check management control, we check preferential procurement, we check enterprise development, and as well as the EO of socio-economic development. Basically, since the process now has moved into implementation, key focus now is on SDG, socio-economic development, where basically those companies are encouraged to develop SMMEs in where they operate in the areas where they are, so that SMEs can basically provide services to those companies. They do not have to go outside town. They need to develop and look and develop and train local people to provide those more services. So basically, we are monitoring those. It's still very early stage because, as I said, that the program probably has been running for over a year, but we monitor on a regular basis. Unfortunately, I did not bring in the numbers here, but probably in the next sessions we can then basically share with the committee the overall performance of the program, where we talk in detail as to with regard to the numbers, how much money has been spent in local communities, what has been the level of women and black and SME benefiting out of those programs. Basically, the only issue that we have had in some areas was that these companies complain that in some cases, that especially with regard to black women-owned enterprises, do not exist. Right. So obviously, this is where then I think small business development, then they need to have an interaction with us and probably come devise a mechanism where we can then go and identify or assist where exactly those black women-owned businesses that can participate in the program. Obviously, this is basically how we go to the program. Just talk to the structure of the evaluation process, what areas we look for, and obviously the awarding of scores. I think the gentleman who spoke before me, he mentioned the issue of there is a problem with PPPFA. We did encounter the PPPFA. As a result, we managed to get some form of an exemption. The current existence, the PPPFA talks about 80-20 or 90-10 principle. But in this program, we managed to bend the treasurer's hand slightly. We managed to get the scoring to shift to 70-30. So that the 30% will be able then now to accommodate all the elements that I have spoken to, the seven elements. Basically, we measure all those seven elements during the bidding phase so that we can basically ensure that there is progress in terms of all the elements. Because if you consider the 90-10 or the 80-20, a corporate or a company can ignore the large part of the BEE aspect and all the other operations that we have and still get the contract if you can focus on those things. So basically, we need to widen the envelope a bit to 30% so that we can be able to load in all these other elements that we're trying to look out for. Unfortunately, we managed to get that exemption, but probably a lot more still needs to be done in that area to ensure that all the programs that we roll out to the department, we manage to sort of factor these aspects into the program. Okay, solar water heating systems, I think the chair alluded to the program that there has been presentations to this house on two occasions. Unfortunately, the program has not migrated fully from ESCOM to the Department of Energy. I think probably it's in the cabinet process. I'm not sure whether it's going to be in this next meeting or probably the meeting after, where basically the program can, or cabinet can make a decision as well as the program migrate out of ESCOM to the department. And while then the program, if we get the go-ahead, migrate to the department, then we then would be in a position then to advance on the discussions that we've been having with the small business development to basically now factor in into a great deal the issues of SMEs as well as corporations. I'm not going to talk to the money. I think the chairperson mentioned what kind of money we're looking at with regards to that program. From our view, I think there is a lot of scope to basically ensure that that program delivers, you know, with regard to developing SMEs, youth, unemployment, and even women-owned businesses. Because by and large, most of the funding will come from government, so basically most of the levers of control will be sitting with us. We will not need to be dependent on a third party or the like to make sure that all those things are enforced, but obviously we just are waiting for a cabinet pronouncement. Then we'll be then in a position to aggressively take all those things into account and then expand on these things. This one is the solar home systems. Solar home systems are the program where we electrify households, mainly in the rural areas where there is no grid electricity. In that, before, we used to give concessionaires to probably five companies countrywide. obviously the program was not expansive. It was just focused on a number of key nodes within the country. But now we have realized that we need to expand the program, first to assist us in making sure that we reach universal access, as well as to ensure that we stimulate SMMEs and cooperatives. So basically, we've also had a discussion with small business development to see how best we package that. We are basically running a pilot, I'll call it a pilot program in the Eastern Cape, where basically people are being now trained to basically be in a position to service these systems. Because once the systems have been installed, there needs to be a service and maintenance contract or framework that basically ensures that the system continues to be in a good state. So basically we are trying now to close that gap by developing and training especially young people within those communities so that they can then be responsible to basically maintain the systems going forward. Obviously, if the pilot proves successful, we should be in a position to replicate the model to other areas where solar home systems are being applied. Integrated energy centers, we have a challenge here. There is another presentation that I will do after this, which basically is going to zoom into what the challenge is in the integrated energy centers. But basically, the integrated energy center is where a program depends on oil majors. It's a donor-funded program. Basically, Sasol, engines, and the likes participate. What basically they do, they identify a node where basically energy services are lacking. And then they fund the infrastructure, which is the service station, as well as the initial stock of getting the petrol station to run. Obviously, with gas and all the other, in some cases, they even put libraries and internet portals so that communities can have access to media and that kind of thing. But out of 10 IDCs that have been launched, 4 have failed. What happens is that once the owner has donated and given the stock, for a year, the program that run is managed by a municipality. After which then the municipality needs to hand over the program to a cooperative. Then the cooperative then they need to run the service station and the related infrastructure. But we have had a challenge, hence this year we will be trying to see whether is there nothing more that the department can do, or even to the extent of re-looking at the model, because the cooperative model with regards to the IECs has improved successful to the degree that we had hoped. But there is a slide which I will go to each IEC so as you members can have a picture in terms of what we talk about there. Okay, this is basically just what I said, but it's a presentation after this which I'm going to go to IEC. Okay, then obviously the payment of invoices within 30 days, as I said, alluded earlier, that we have been by and large put on in terms of paying or payment of invoices to SME. I think that issue has been raised before. I think we'll keep that one up so that they do not suffer. You know, sometimes they get into bankruptcy because the dependents hold the payment. So we've been good at trying to make sure that we pay them timely. Also, we still, as I mentioned, that the discussion by and large that we've had with small business has been focusing on solar water heating program. But as a department, we're doing a lot more than solar water heating program. So I think I'll encourage the department of small business to come to the department so that we can share a portfolio of programs that the department does so that then they can then begin identifying those key areas where, according to their understanding of the SMMEs, would basically be beneficial. Then, when we then go out on procurement, then the procurement documentation should be in a position which favors the SMMEs and cooperatives. Currently, most of our procurement is based on Section 217 of the Constitution as well as the BBSA, which then those two legislations, then they do not sometimes make it easy to do things that my colleague here was saying, the set aside, et cetera, et cetera. Of course, you get challenged, you know, that why are you doing this? What is the legal framework or basis that encourages you to do this? So I think that is another area where I think the big department in this area needs to start focusing on, you know, to see how basically we break that lock, you know, because from the Department of Energy's point of view, we are spending per annum close to over 4 billion right, in infrastructure. So basically, there could be a lot of leverage that we can gain if then we've got a proper or a conducive legal framework to do such a type and basically stimulate the SMMEs and cooperatives. So I think if we can then have a discussion and see how we can basically pick that up, you know, so that through the bill program and even other programs that we are looking upon, we begin to factor in the issue of SMMEs and cooperatives with authority, you know, so that we do not get delayed in terms of realizing our goals. Here, we're just looking for this other presentation to... This is where the IECs are located. Basically, the IECs are in the areas by and large that were designated poverty north. We've got 10 of them in total. As I said, some of them have collapsed. Okay, those are the IECs that are currently operating, right? Those are the names, those is the district municipality and local municipality and the sponsor. These are the IECs that have collapsed, and those are the reasons why the IECs have collapsed. By and large, the reason why the IECs collapsed first is that sometimes the cooperatives decide to squabble over money when the IECs start making money. The other reason is that probably there is not enough business development training so that they can basically do stock inventory and all those other things that basically manage cash flows. So basically we will be speaking with the own majors to basically discuss how best we sustain the IEC model, should that be the decision that we need to go on. But obviously we may then decide to revamp the IEC model and come with a better model, because our main aim is to ensure that any services are accessible in those poverty-stricken nodes within the country. So obviously if the IECs collapse, then obviously our objective of providing the energy services is not met, which basically means we're not achieving the mandate of the department. So basically this is where also, this is another thing that a small business development probably they can assist us by looking at. There is one which is operating very well in Motale, which probably maybe we should revisit and just document and study why is it so successful while others are not doing well. Because this one in Motale is also being run by cooperatives. So basically it means there is something that cooperatives are doing well. Obviously in others where there is issue of infighting, etc., etc., just need to come up with how best we resolve those issues. Obviously, these are just the reasons in terms of what is the status and what basically is happening there. In some of these IECs, the oil majors, they have to spend money twice, because where the IEC has vandalized, the oil majors go there and then reinvest the same amount of money that they invest earlier, because basically it's their branch, in most cases, that is on the line. So they are doing their utmost best to basically sustain the IECs. But obviously, from us as a department, I think we need to make in collaboration with small business development, because if some of these things would involve CEDA as well, to basically advance training to these cooperatives so that they basically understand what is that they need to do to basically run this business successfully. Because where the IECs are being run successfully, they can basically be very profitable, and obviously then cooperatives will be able then to do other things within the community that they aspire to do without any support or backing the space, you know, for that matter. Okay, basically that's what that's to basically give you a quick rundown in terms of where these IECs are and basically what is the status of each IEC. Thanks, Madam Chair.
Thank you very much for the presentation, and we are pressed with time, and we would want to engage thoroughly on the presentation. Having said that, I would then open the opportunity for members to ask questions, but before I do that, I making an observation here of a serious juncture between the Department of Small Business and the department that is supposed to have transversal agreements with. The departments that have market opportunities and opportunities for SMEs and cooperatives are making presentations. But I, from where I sit, I can't feel a strong working relationship within the Department of Small Business that is charged with responsibility of developing SMEs. It is not the responsibility of all these departments to develop SMEs. These departments are there to provide opportunities for the development of SMEs and cooperatives. The department that is charged to with the responsibility of doing that is the Department of Small Business. But what we are getting here is that other departments are running. The department that is supposed to be at the center in doing that is not there. But we will come to that question at the opportune time. Let us then have questions that are related to the presentations that have been made. Honorable Kuka, followed by Honorable Chan, Honorable Mugabe, Honorable Ramaphosa, Leba, Abasa.
Thank you, Madam Chair. One question and one comment. I can't help to, first of all, thank you for all the departments for the presentation. I think it was very informative. My comment is as follows, I can't help to notice the men-only speakers list of Department of Transport. And one of the problems is diversity. But this is just a comment. Manji, not one of the departments, not one of the departments' presentations, they are prioritizing reduction of regulatory burdens or administration costs to SMEs, you know, small business. So my question is, what is the department's strategy to reduce red tape in their departments?
Thank you, Chair. Just quickly, want to comment on your earlier comments. I would like to suggest that the departments of small business development should be developing guidelines for how other departments in government should be approaching the issue of small business development, rather than each department going off on its own way and probably wasting a lot of time and effort and money and everything else on experiments. Clearly what has happened is that over the last 20 years, small business development has featured very, very low down on the list of priorities of all these departments. I mean, they virtually only just started looking at it as an issue. So I think it's a priority for the Department of Small Business Development to urgently have guidelines which it can share on an interdepartmental basis so as to reduce the learning curve that these departments go up. Secondly, I disagree with your point that these departments should not be doing their own work. I think they should. Rather, like all businesses and all companies and all state-owned enterprises are developing small businesses.
Can I clarify myself? I am saying that it is not their responsibility to develop SMEs and cooperatives. They are there to say, we are the market, we are the partner, but the department that is charged with the responsibility of leading that process is small business development. That is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I agree with that, that the department is in charge, is leading it. All of these departments have a supply chain, let's face it. They all have a big procurement budget. So why should that prevent them from using it? Okay, let's move on, Chair. We don't have a lot of time. We can discuss this offline.
You don't understand what I'm saying. So we'll talk about that at another time. Address your question to the presentations that have been made, and debate and the understanding between what I'm saying and what you are saying can be debated at another time.
Okay, no problem, Chair. I'd like to ask the Department of Water and Sanitation why they have excluded the ownership target within the B scorecard. They've only included six of the elements, not that seventh, and how will the new scorecards, which only have five elements, change their way of reckoning? I'd also like to point out that there's a very, very high failure rate in the levels 1 and 2 under CIBD, and what is the department doing to address the high failure rate of the 1 and 2s? Thirdly, how does the department choose its nominated enterprise development beneficiaries? I see that at the end of the presentation there was reference to enterprise development beneficiaries, and I'd like to know how they're selected. Okay, next one, personal telecommunications. Who are they inviting to the workshop later this month? I'd like to know who's going. because maybe we can suggest to people that they might not have thought of that should be at that workshop. Who will run the incubator hubs that they're planning to set up? Is it going to be themselves, or is it going to be outsourced to specialist private tech operators? And then lastly, to the on the question of the IECs, how much money has been spent by the oil majors so far on the support of the IECs? Thank you.
Thank you, Shalom. Maybe one must welcome the report. I don't have much questions. Maybe I'll have one. But I would also want to comment to what you have touched upon, Chair, that department that have presented today seem to be more ready to take small business and cooperative forward than the designated department itself. Looking at the report of the Department of Transport, it gives a clear picture on how they are running with the vision of SMEs and the cooperative development. And when you look at the report of the Department of Energy, to be honest, to me it's like it's them who are the Department of Small Businesses and Development. They went further even to touch on the issues of 30 days payment period, which is the most frustrating to the small businesses. We all know that the majority of them, they collapse. We should acknowledge the presence of the minister of just came in. Many of them, they collapse because of far that relevant departments are not complying with a particular requirement to pay them in time. Everyone must acknowledge that. And also the programs that have been outlined by them to assist the cooperatives and for the fact that there's even established some in the Eastern Cape and KwaZulu-Natal and other provinces, maybe one should applaud that. On the report of presentation near telecommunication, maybe one would have one question regarding the issue of the ICT and SME development. It is not clear as to how maybe they've categorized in terms of women, youth, and people with disabilities, maybe. Because ICT has been, it just came up as a very important concept and business as well. So maybe one would want to know that whether maybe in these programs and workshops regarding the ICT, do they have the specifications to young people, they have this number, in women they have this number. Maybe that should be the question, but overall in their presentation to me, it's irrelevant to what to do for the country, especially small businesses. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. Minister Siyabonga. Asante kakhulu presentation esinikezwa ama department. Ikakhulukazi I Department of Transport. I think information that has been brought to us is very much important and it will assist this department moving forward. But there's only one thing I notice when departments come and present to us, they always forget the numbers. Next time when you come, you must bring the numbers because you can't present and then you said, but we don't have the numbers, then it doesn't give us a clear picture where you're going to. So I think you must mustn't forget numbers when you come and present to us. The other thing is that we telecommunication, you talk about broadband and connectivity. We're coming from the rural areas. Is it possible for you to just roll out that program so that Mandela from secondary schools and primary schools can be able, assist them to do their schoolwork because Emakaya, we do have a problem. But the last presenter mentioned that in the solar home system, you mentioned two cooperatives that has been, you said that they are still under registration. Fortunately, You mentioned my area is the Bushevers. That is where I'm coming from. I will go and check and verify and come back if that is true. Thank you very much, Shepherd.
We welcome the minister. Minister Ndivuzo. Can we go to Honorable Amofana?
Thank you, Chair. Just quickly, Chair, I think Chair also welcoming the presentations. And I think it was wise, it was a wise move for the Chair to give that overview. I think now it clarified the department because as we listen to presentations, that element that you're talking about is more the disjunction. Okay. Departments are still working in silos. Everybody is moving for its competition. Very serious competition on one target group. Cooperatives and FMMEs. No department is not fighting there. So I think the explanation by the Chair clarified that so that whoever was here in that first session is able to come and next time and understand the mandate of the department. That is very key now, and it was an advantage that people were here. Now, my question to the first water trading. You see, the triple PSA on the CIGDB, it has got a problem in the sense that sometimes these small businesses are taken as subcontractors to big businesses. Over and above their certificates, they've got certificates for business, but the value of their certificates make them to come. And subcontracting, it is where they lose. Because once the contract ends, they've got nothing. They just subcontract, they pay people, they buy, they've got nothing at the end. They don't own, they are not business people by the look of the eye. So, how do you deal with that matter in your session in that day? Coupled with that is the trade ventures. Investors are good, but they are very dangerous again to the small businesses because in most cases they venture with big businesses. Big businesses claim to do administration on their behalf. When there is no money, they loan, they got guarantees. When the money is paid, they just withdraw their money. And the smaller businesses remain with nothing at all. So how do you also deal with this issue of the venture issue? I would also request that the policy document from this side, if we can get it to just acquaint ourselves with the content, because it will be best if we see what is contained there. The second one is just one on transport. Thank you, because transport was able to give a clear picture. You see, it's better when you deal with that kind of reason. It gives a clear picture so that you see where you can fix. So the question, the problem with transport is that to say, they need to come and be integrated. That is the problem that I see. But the one question is that Samba Sonke, this issue of Samba Sonke on the roads. We are from the provinces. We are from the provincial legislatures. We know for a fact that in many instances, cooperatives that are there, and it's millions of them, it's millions of them, cooperatives that are there are not proper cooperatives. It's just formations of individuals to claim money. Now, there are also subcontractors there. You go there, you find who are the subcontracting people. Get the gist of who is this one, who is this one. You find that the beneficiation there is controlled somewhere. It's not addressing the poverty issue. It's not addressing the job creation. It's just enriching some people. How do you deal with that in your space? And a question of concurrency. This function is national. It's given to province. How the provinces account to you? How do they do to account to you? How do you monitor them to make sure that these millions of rents are not falling away? Because these millions of rents are going to end and there will be very little like that or very lousy work, you know. Very, very lousy work done. When the contract finishes, the road is finished also. The new road is finished. You must build the other one. So, how do you deal with the quality controls and all those things? The last one is on the energy. I think energy, I must really want to say energy, so far,
I don't see seriousness in that department in relation to working with us now. From previous meetings we have had, last week I was able to get some report, a sample report, it was a very old report. And today, the report you are presenting to us is a report, but it has got loopholes because something must be finalized somewhere. The cabinet must still do this. I don't think that is a radical change that we are expecting at the ANC, the ruling party. We don't want those things now, after 21 years. We don't. We want things to happen now. So, to bring this kind of report does not assist us. It does not show a very serious interaction with this party. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Comrade Chair, and also thanks for the presenters that have come to present. Most of my questions run across all the departments, but I must quickly acknowledge that one of the departments is also my roots, incidentally, because that's where I had been for 20 years, the post and telecommunications, from the 70s up to 1994. We were amongst the first people to start. You might have heard of our first president, Vusi Khumalo, who is late now. We were the first people to start the trade union in post and telecommunications. But up there, I had heard of retrenchments. I don't know whether I had heard correctly that it was a department that was intending to retrench. And is it so, or I'm missing it? It's not yours. Oh, no, that's great. So my first question is directed to all the presenters. How are they working with the Department of Higher Education so that what higher education does is influenced by your department, and you are also influenced by higher education, so that there is no delink or complete irrelevance, you know, in a relationship is needed. And the second one is that I don't feel enough of a support of how to help the SMEs and cooperatives to be established. I don't feel enough the support, and if you don't consciously go all out to give that support, we may find down 1 year, down 2 years, we find that the numbers have not changed. Or if they have changed, cooperatives are rare, but they are still at the level of performance of the day. So it's very important that you consciously examine that. And also the geographic spread, to have a feel of covering the whole country, so that you don't find one province has got nothing and the others have got some progress, because job creation is what will solve problems, you know, throughout the country. The last one is there any of your departments which also utilizes labor brokers in its business of you know, in its daily business of work? Thanks, Coach.
Thank you very much. My first job was in a shoe factory, and I had a target in terms of the shoes that I had to seek the store with the shoe in order for me to enter the business. Because each shoe gave me 2 cents. So I knew how many shoes I had to make to lick the soles in the upper part of the shoe in order for me to earn 3 rand per week. That was my first job in South Africa. I then moved to the retail industry. I was also given a target. My store manager was Mr. Tony Domet, who is still alive. And I was working for 6 hours. There was a target for the store and a target for each sales person. And I exceeded my target. And in 1 year, 6 years, I got 100% increase. And I became the sales person of the year. As a result, since I paid for my driver's license and promoted me to become the school promoter. Now, we are sitting here, we have a target of 11 million jobs. But in all presentations, there's not a single department that is saying how what they are doing, how many jobs will be created out of what they are doing. So you are telling us a general story that you think we want to hear. The NDP has got target 11 million more jobs by 2020. 80% of that from SMEs and cooperatives. Divide that. First of all, ask how many jobs out of 11 million, 80% equal to how many jobs? Is equal to 8.8 million jobs by 2020. Divide that by 15 years. You get 567 jobs per year. Divide that by a month. And then because you are a department of charged with the responsibility, you have a small business development. Go to your sister department. Department of Small Business. Go to your sister department and find out what opportunities exist in each department. Translate those opportunities into numbers. Then you will know in the transversal agreement, we will see that from the Department of Energy, this is the number of jobs that we can expect per year. Because these are the opportunities that will come from that department for small business and cooperatives. So in your presentation, when you are talking solar geysers, you must be able to tell us how many jobs will come from that program. Solar households, tell us how many households will be converted into solar households and how many jobs will be created for that. So that we can then monitor the progress that we are making and the impact in relation to job creation and poverty, because that is what we are charged to deal with. We are not charged to do any other thing. We are charged to create 11 million more jobs and reduce poverty. But very interestingly, in all the presentations, there is no mentioned relationship between what is being done and reduction of the number of families that survive on social grants. Without the social grant, in that family, no one would go to bed having eaten. That is what poverty means. It means there are people who cannot on their own have one meal per day. And government has to intervene and provide them with a social grant. And if you are then building a developmental state and the government is opening itself as a sustainable market for SMEs and cooperatives through public procurement, it then means
basis that the government is saying we shall not forever be giving social grants. Some of the people that are seeking for the social grant need to become self-reliant. And they are committing that aid. We will give them an opportunity through public procurement for them to become self-reliant. What does that mean? It means that each department, and in particular the Department of Small Business, must know the number of child support beneficiaries. Because each and every child is a responsibility of his or her own parents in terms of having gone to bed eating. Under normal circumstances, there is no government who's supposed to give my child a plate of food under normal circumstances. Because we are in an abnormal situation, the government has taken that responsibility. But while doing that, the government is then saying again, I can change that situation of that poor family by enabling the parents of the child to become self-sufficient and self-reliant. And how am I going to do this? One, I am establishing setup that are going to be responsible for skills development, to find that. Two, I am going to ensure that there are funds made available through the FI to fund those people who want to establish themselves as SMEs and cooperatives. Three, I am going to become the market for them. That is what government is saying. While you don't have the skills to establish yourself in an SMME and a cooperative, I will give you the child support grant. I will give you a grant. I will provide you with free energy. I will provide you with free water. I will provide you with a house. But it can't be a long-term intervention on poverty. So, if we understand how a developmental stage is, a developmental state is a country with a capable state and citizens that are able to do for themselves. Now, it's good to get the presentation to two cooperatives in Bushlebel, but the members of those cooperatives, they come from, are those the people that were deliberately identified through the indigent register and the social grant register to reduce the dependence of poor families on social grants. Or it is a cooperative of a teacher and a cooperative of a nurse and a cooperative of a policeman, or a cooperative of road thing. Who has money? That is how people need to go. But then, thank God, it's good. A cover. Because the cover of the book is good. But I can get into each and every page of that book and crack you because I've worked with you. One thing that I can crack is a scholar transfer that has taken 7 years for that department to conclude. Scholar transfer policy. 7 years. When I took my position as a chairperson for transport, it was 2 years. On the pipe, being well for years. I stayed in that committee for 5 years. That is 7 years. I am going to finish the first year in May in this portfolio, which means 7 full years and about to finish. And it takes 8 years to come up with a policy position that involves just two government departments, Department of Education and Department of Transport. Whilst they are doing that for 8 years, how many children have died? How many have died? Because they are transported in very, very old. Then, but if we were to look at what opportunities exist if we were to agree on that policy and type of the vehicle, a different car would be manufactured in South Africa to transport three children. And a different type of people would be trained to become drivers and even have abantu bese 18 each and every bus or whatever that would be transporting our children. The same applies to Shobhakamela. The minute we talk about the bicycles being manufactured in South Africa, then it has feasibility study after feasibility study after feasibility study after feasibility study. Mina, I can finish that feasibility study in 2 months, if it was given to me. 2 months, I can complete a feasibility study about manufacturing of bicycles in South Africa. 2 months. Now, we are pressed with time. Mina, what I would like us to go back to is that Honorable Chance is saying this department has got a responsibility of developing guidelines. Because what has been presented to us here, energy is doing what they think should be done. Transport is doing what they think should be done. Telecommunication is doing what they think should be done. What? What? You're only talking about them. Me, the school that I went to, my primary school, had very poor sanitation, and I had to intervene and find money, not from the department, to fix those toilets, because it is the school that I still visit every day. Children have died using a pitless latrine. They have died. Even the school to which the longest serving president of the ANC, who actually led what was the call of Atam, sanitation in that school was through my intervention as Ruth Bain, not your department. And this portfolio committee has been there. And in your presentation, there is nothing that talks about it. How many jobs would we create? How many small businesses would we create if we were just to focus on that? Schools with bad sanitation. Just that. And then call the construction sector to say, train these young people. That school that I went to, that has got a very beautiful sanitation block now, that was built by people from Harding, where I was born, with no skills. There was only one person in the community that had business skills, and he was made a project manager. So this thing of doesn't talk to development. The problem that we have in this country is poor services, it's poverty, it's unemployment, dependency of poor families on government social grants, that will run out. That is the problem that we have in this country. We don't have all the problems of justifying how black is this happen, even if it does not have the ownership of black people. That is good because it's paperwork. But Mina, I'm not interested in paperwork. I'm interested in what is going to happen on the ground. How are we going to create the 8.8 million jobs by 2030? And What will tell me that we will be able to create 8.8 million jobs is how many jobs we will create each month, each year, until we reach that target. And believe you me, there are enough opportunities to even create more than 8.8 million jobs without having to think in a particular way. The graduate school is a job opportunity. A gravel road, Tambasong, I pushed for Tambasong to be established. That was my result in transport. Tambasong was meant for upgrading gravel road, access road to public facilities, starting with schools. And when you do that, you can establish an SME and a cooperative that is manufacturing paving bricks. Take all the assets rose to schools. How many jobs can you create out of that? Not this Tambasong now that is about contrast. Not that one. Tambasong that has to do with appropriation and improving services, inadequate services, in areas where there is underdevelopment. That is what Tambasong came to do. But today, the Tambasong that you are reporting about is a different Tambasong from the one that I initiated. That Tambasong was my brainchild. It had to do with the upgrading of gravel roads to schools and also closing of potholes. That is what the last Tambasong was meant for. So, don't respond to these questions because you don't have answers. Let us agree that we will have a workshop. Let us agree that we will have a workshop, not a one-day workshop. A workshop where each department will tell us the opportunities and also translate those opportunities into a rand and a cent. If it is a 77 billion opportunity, let us hear that. So I think we're going to have a conversation with Chelanamakon. Let us close this meeting before we trample on each other's corners. Let us, we are warming you up so that you don't come there and get lambasted by us, because what you are presenting is a very good document for meetings. It's not a good document for out there on the field. So see, I soon have this now, the workshop, so that we can begin to align programs as well as our budget. Thank you very much. I enjoyed the meeting.